straight. Any addict rich, any addict poor, any addict can stop using, can lose the desire to use, and can find a new way to live. So no matter how much pain I got on the inside today, joy comes in the morning because I got some tools that I choose to put into effect today. I will not go out a loser. I've got what it takes on the inside of me for success. I'm willing to share my pain because pain shared is pain lessened. I'm not afraid to let people know where I am today. Yes, I'm coming up on 16. Yes, I'm an employer now. Yes, I got a little bit of money in the bank. My wallet's not going to be empty at the end of this weekend. But we all still have issues. And I thank God that it's important not just to share the triumph, but I have to share the trial too. And I was sharing with William before we started, we knew this meeting was going to be special. And you know what I think is special about it? Let me tell you what took my nervousness away. Because with all of these dances going on, if a room like this can be packed, I know I'm not alone. The addict never alone. I know I'm not the only one up in here hurting on the inside and smiling on the outside. And it's something about knowing that you're not alone that sustains you, that could lift a sister up and help a sister get over to the other side. So I'm grateful for recovery. I'm grateful that I've got the tools. My family has been restored. My brothers and my sisters and my siblings, they looked at me like I was the black sheep for many, many years. I would have to make a conscious choice of whether or not to go home to New Jersey many holidays because they would like to do the remember wins. And I would be, yes, I remember, but I'm not that kind of girl today. And they would catch resentments about the change in my life. And I was like, if you got resentments about my life, you better take it up with the God of my understanding. He's the one that did the cartwheels and somersaults of transformation in my life. So if you got an issue, you take it up with him. And God told me years ago, I labored about my brother. And God said, well, you do your part, and I'll change your family's heart. You just do your part, and I'll change your family's heart. And my part was just to stay clean, to show up a day at a time, to admit my wrongs, to do the personal inventory, morning, noon, and night, and to trust God, and to trust in the process. And that's what I've been doing. All of my family came to a big function we had in my new town, in Maryland, a couple of months ago. And one sister was so overwhelmed by the change that had happened in my life that she burst out crying. They saw that black sheep wasn't black anymore. And I owe it all to God and to this program. I'm a writer, and I comfort myself a lot, and I was able to, when I had went back into that dereliction state, I was able to speak to myself. I was able to edify myself, and I was able to say, don't cry no more, Judy. Wipe those inside tears away, because just a little bit up the road, there's a brand new day. God is putting some powerful people in my life, and my brothers and sisters in AA, you are the guys are the ones who are like a day at a time relieving me of my strife. So I don't have to go through anything alone. I don't have to hold anything in. I'd rather cry on the outside and cry on the inside because washed nylons wear better any day. Again, I want to thank CPRCNA for allowing me to share. God bless you.
Let's thank Judith C. for sharing. Now, this time, we're going to have our next speaker, our second speaker, William S. from the Battlefield area of Narcotics Anonymous.
Magnate William.
Hey, William.
Here through God's grace and God's mercy, nothing more and nothing less and nothing else. Dig this, I am like so excited to be here. You understand? And I'm a little bit overwhelmed. You understand? Because sometimes, when I listen to the topic and, and it was real cute and they called and sometimes it's hard to acknowledge that a topic fits you. You understand? So what I really got in touch with was what we were sharing about was counterfeit humility. We was talking about walking around acting like everything was all right, man, but on the inside knowing that we was tore up. We was talking about what it feels like, man, to walk around in here, man, because dig this, most of the time when we go through our process, our step process, and our initial focus has to be about physically looking like what recovery is like. Because we understand that the newcomers really believe in what they can see. And so what happens is that what I spend most of my energy doing, even throughout my step processes, is trying to look like what recovery looks like. Sometimes it's just really just about trying to sound like what recovery looks like, but most of the fucking time, it's some shit going on the inside that's an absolute conflict with what you see. So I'm here because I just really look. If I could just talk about the last year, I don't really want to talk about wasting a lot of energy about what happened after the first time I got high and before the last time, because we all know what it was like to you. It's some stuff that happened from the last convention. I remember because I was down the hallway. I was with one of my homegirls from Camden, and we were sharing, and I was feeling so good inside. And dig this, and I was fronting. Man, look, the front game, they say front ain't easy. In Narcotics Anonymous, I beg to differ. Because I hang out with one fake-ass person every day. You ever don't realize that you sleep with the enemy and ain't nobody else in the bed? Yeah, counterfeit humility. Counterfeit humility. It appears to be real, but it ain't. And so I'm in here, man. I just really want to get free about the stuff that I was holding on to, man, because I'm telling you, man, that you can hold on to some stuff and you can still look just like recovery, man, but you can be suffering in here. So I'm walking around, man, and I took some of the stuff off and the bling and all that shit because that's how I front. That's how I look like I'm all right. And I'll walk around, and I got a great relationship, and I'm recovering my ass off, and I got 20 years clean, and the car's paid for, and this, and the rims is unky. That's what he fucking said. He just took the CH right the fuck off chunky and shit. And so I got all that. You know what I'm saying? When you got a hat to match everything and everything just goes real well together and people just want to get in flicks with you and take pictures with you and you seem to really have it going the fuck on and shit and all you can think about is your fucking raggedy ass sex game because if you still hanging off of chandeliers living like you out there in the dead world, there's something in you ain't healed yet. So I'm here, man, and I came to share at my regional convention, man, and I'm so excited, man, because I want to get free this time. So you come here, and you come in the meeting, and you show up. You know how you do, man, and you sit around, and you listen to everybody share the same old bullshit they've been sharing, and then you share a recovery message to clean up the bullshit that you heard, and because that's your fucking job. You got all this clean time. You got to clean the bullshit up. Share some good shit so they stop sharing that drunk-ass shit. You from motherfucking Canada, nigga. You know how to share. I'm telling you, I was talking to a really good friend of mine, Kenny Ali. It was a long time ago, man. And I said to Kenny, I said, man, like everything is going on and I just want to recover, man. And do I need to change my message, man? And maybe like that, it'll be more palpable to the fellowship, man, because I get sick and so tired and like feeling like on the outside looking in. And Kenny said to me, God rest his soul, he said, William, if you just keep sharing like you sharing at our fellowship, will grow up to the point where it'll receive your message and at some point we identify that God starts scraping the bottom of the fucking barrel to carry the message. He gets sick and tired of people carrying fluffy ass messages that ain't reaching no fucking body. So I'm that guy, and people still, they just talk shit, because they don't say it to my face, because they fucking punk-ass cowards and shit, so they'll share some shit to somebody else. Oh, what is he, sending tapes around the country? No, motherfucker, I don't send no goddamn tapes. I don't audition for fucking commitments. They call me, I don't know them, and I do what you told me to do. I go and I carry the message of recovery. I have enough respect for our message to show up and to carry a message so that when they sit next to their sponsor and sponsees, they can say, see, that's the shit we be telling you. They just need somebody to come share it from somebody else to know that they on the same track as we are. So when I go and I carry the message, whether it's in the Bay City area convention or whether it's in Knoxville, Tennessee, or all the many places that you seem to be following me on fucking Facebook. I was talking to my sponsor, it was a long time ago, this is some way back shit, this is on the way back machine, and I was at the Northern New Jersey Regional Convention, and I was at the fucking registration table, and my girlfriend at the time walked up to me, and she said some really fucked up shit, that she ripped my fucking shirt off. And then I blacked out, and I had her up against the wall, David, and I was choking the fuck out of her. I didn't say I was new. And I was choking her, not because of anything she said to me. I was choking her because she embarrassed me in front of you. And what she did was she exposed my punk ass to let everybody else see who I really was when you wasn't looking. And so I was running all over the country with 5 years clean, trying to share my pain away. But then I'd still answer my beeper. Fucking look at me. What the fuck is a beeper? You know what a beeper is? It's the thing where you would cut it off and then cut it back on in the meeting and it would go bloop, 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 and then you would jump up and run out the meeting like it was important so that he or she could see you answering a fucking beeper. You just cut it off and cut it back on. That might take a minute. They still trying to figure out what the fuck he was. What the fuck is a beeper? That's some shit we had about 20 years ago. We had that when you could still smoke in meetings. We had that when we was cleaning up ashtrays even if we didn't smoke. So I come in here and I'm walking around and I'm at last year's convention and I'm in a relationship and dig this. So let's just go back a couple more years about when I was in the room next door and I was sharing on who am I when nobody is looking while my wife was down the street fucking this broad and shit. And then it was right in my face and it was oh so sweet. Oh, we just gonna leave the room so you can just get free and we're just gonna go ahead and leave and you know that's my friend and I'm like, okay, and you know, because when you love somebody and you're not looking for harm and shit, you don't see harm coming. So I'm not looking for no pain. I don't think this person I gave my whole fucking heart to. And dig this. This is for the addict that think I travel all over the country and I'm fucking somebody everywhere. When I give my whole heart to somebody, they got my whole heart, my whole mind, and my whole fucking body. I don't got parts of me all over the country. I dealt with that shit early in the step process. There's something shameful about everywhere you go to, somebody can say they had you. Oh yeah, I know what that feels like. I don't do that no more. Y'all help me with that. I'm here sharing my heart out, man, and I don't think nothing is wrong, and I don't understand where all the rejection is coming from, and I go home from the convention on an emotional high, but I'm trying to figure out why my wife keeps rejecting me. But I got it going on. I'm recovering my ass off, and I'm still working steps, and I'm still calling my sponsor. And then she sleeps on the other side of the king-size comfy bed before. You know, this is a new king-size comfy bed. I'm just saying this for my Facebook friends and shit. They be talking about, where the fuck you checking in, boy? Is he going to talk about that big comfy king-size bed, you motherfucking right? Because I sleep on the whole bed. I don't not sleep on half of it because I'm afraid I might roll over on a ghost. You know how you do when you break up with somebody and you're afraid if you roll over and start sleeping on their side of the bed, it's an acknowledgement that they're never coming back. Let that shit fucking marinate. I came to share. I'm sharing, and then I'm dancing, and I don't really give a fuck if you hug me afterwards, because you already saw I got friends up in this motherfucker. So I go home, and I don't tell nobody that I'm getting rejected, Dave. I'm not telling them that. I'm like, you saw how happy I was when I said I do. You was at the fucking wedding. You saw how happy I appeared to be, man, when the sex was reduced to once a fucking month, unless I missed the signal, and then it was once every 2 months. You know what the signal is when they wiggle their ass over the fucking line? You know what it feels like, man, when the only love and intention and intensity and affection I got was when I went to the meeting and you hugged me? And then I would go home and she would look at me like the meeting's over already? Nah, I just want to share with you about how I'm not sharing, how I'm really feeling, how I'm walking around. Look, the second step can be a setup. Because what it says in the second step is that we can't think our way into a better way of acting, but we can act our way into a better way of thinking. What that does is if you take a real consideration, what it says is acknowledging that it's okay for you to be a fraud. Anthony calls it fugazi. That's counterfeit. I then found out to a year later that she had slept with that girl and a whole lot more other people. And I wasn't somebody that stalked phone bills and did all that kind of shit until somebody cheated on me. And then I started stalking phone bills and shit. You don't do that kind of stuff when you happily fucking married or happily with whoever you with your mate or whatever the cute names that we give each other around here. Then there was... Sometimes you just got to say it out loud. I know people don't want to believe that because you already, it says, the literature says that what they don't know about you, they'll imagine, they'll create. So the last year I was with my wife, we had sex one time that year. And all the affection I got was from hugging y'all at meetings. Because when I'm loving like that, I have the ability to be committed to the commitment. But when I opened the gate, oh, yeah, because there's some opening the gate going on. So I'm here last year, and the wife is gone, and I'm with the new thing, the jump-off thing, the one that I was with that was fucking me better than wifey ever fucked me, who was willing to cook for me every day like a good Southern girl, and everything was wonderful. I remember sharing on CD, I got CDs for evidence. This is the best fucking girlfriend I've ever had. She'll fuck me in a car, she'll fuck me in a bathroom, she'll fuck me anywhere. I'm telling you, that's a good fucking girl. Then she stopped doing all that stuff. And the moment she stopped doing all that stuff, I went into immediate denial. Because, see, when somebody portrays themselves as somebody, at some point, there's an opportunity for the agent to be removed and for the real them to show up. And then even after that happened, there's something else that could potentially happen when that person becomes somebody other than who they are. And there's only certain things that can be introduced to somebody's spirit or their physical being or their mind that will allow them to become somebody who they aren't naturally are. And we call that shit the disease of addiction. So... maybe that explains why there are all them holes on her side of the blanket. You know, burn holes. Maybe that was the reason why there were all them cigarette burn holes on her side of the carpet. Maybe that's why she couldn't even pay the bills and you would continue to take on bills because you loved her, and maybe she was just hurting because of, you know, that was the abscess and all them pills she was taking were for the pain in her mouth, and she can't possibly use it. Fuck that, I won't acknowledge that. Baby, are you using? No. Well, that's an admission you must make for yourself, so if she doesn't make that admission, she's not using. Yeah. And I'm stuck in that. And I won't allow myself to get out. And I got a key. So I come to the convention last year, and she's back in the room, and she's not fucking sick, and she don't have no toothache. She's fucking dope sick. So I put my attention on somebody else to get some ease and some comfort that I once knew. I'm walking around here like everything is good. I know how to do that. I'm walking around here like I'm recovering my ass off. I still know what recovery looks like. I got practice walking around here with my head up high. I got a chance of becoming a 10. They said if you want a 10, you got to be a 10. I became a 10. Then that bitch fell the fuck off. But instead of me letting her go, I fell off with her. I came in here last year with my eye on somebody else. I still had the one back in the room that must have been dope sick back there. I put my attention on somebody else who had it going on, who had the great recovery resume, and I put my energy into her, and I started loving on her until I fell in love with her. But I still didn't leave the other one because I forget sometimes that you're supposed to break up with somebody before you start some new shit. I'm just saying, I'm not the only fucking one. This room ain't full by accident. It ain't nobody standing outside waiting to get one seat if somebody leaves next door. So I'm stuck, man. I'm fucking stuck, man. I'm walking around and I'm looking like recovery, and I put all my energy into somebody else. And let me just dig this. They were everything that I hoped they would be, man. And what happened as a result of that is that I turned something that I thought, because I know there's a difference between intensity and intimacy. I had fucking intense intimacy. I'm not giving that the fuck up for somebody who's nodding the fuck out. I ain't doing it, man. I ain't doing it. I'm sending her flowers at work, man. Look, we got to work this shit the fuck out. Please don't fucking stop seeing me. I'm in dire, desperate straits here, man. I'm hurting on the inside, man. And I don't know how to let go of the shit that's going on the house side. And so I'm walking around acting like everything is all good. And I wish that the fucking one at home would just fucking leave on her own and shit. And just don't leave me. Make love to me one more time. Just hug me one more time. Just smile at me one more time. Just tell me you love me one more time. Look. I need that. And I got 19 years fucking clean, and I'm in motherfucking pain, and I ain't telling nobody. Walk around here fronting. Still carrying a message, still traveling all over the country, back and forth, and Cali 4 fucking times, and every time I go there, they're running around, and oh my God, will you sign my CD and shit? I'm from McGuire Project. We don't autograph fucking CDs. And then I signed the CD. I mean, because that's what the fuck they want. You have to just share your ass off to see what that feel like. I don't know what the fuck to tell you. They be asking for CDs to get signed. I be like, God damn, what the fuck is this? Are you serious? If you only knew how fucked up I was. If you only knew how much I was really hurting. If you only knew how desperate I was to hold on to just a little bit of sanity. If you only knew how desperately I tried to hold on to the person who was giving me the love, man. Because like I just didn't want to feel like I was feeling it. And I was feeling destroyed on the outside. And I felt so counterfeit because I couldn't tell y'all the truth about how I was really feeling. And so I was begging somebody who was free from me to stay with me so I didn't have to hurt. And so my conflict today is that I got somebody who God rescued me from, who he pulled me out of harm's way, but I still care enough about him that I want to see that life spiral out of control. And so this great idea, this, well, maybe you can fucking save him. And so I lay home, man, and I check in into my comfy king size, and I lay there, man, and some nights, man, I'm just so destroyed about how my life is right now. And I said, there's got to be an opportunity for me to get free somewhere. I'm just like the person sitting next to you, man. Ain't nothing special about me. I'm just an addict, man, who knows how to stay clean above everything else. I understand what's going on in my life, and I understand, man, that nothing bad is happening here, that this is an opportunity to get better in some areas, but I'm telling you, it don't feel good. You want to raise the fucking bar? You want to really share some real recovery shit, man? I just want to be a part of meetings where motherfuckers talk about how really fucked up they are.
I can't take it, man. I can't take it. Oh my God. Some people must think that the podium levitates when I fucking shit. I'll be hurting on the inside, man. It ain't nothing special going on. I'm just prayer power, man. I prayed over and over and over. I said, God, please. I just want to get free. I'm just not, I don't want to hurt no more. You told me, man, it's going to be all right. And Roz G, God rest her, she said, say, Will, if you just get and get free, I'm telling you, it's going to be all right. I said, it's going to be all right. She said, it's going to be all right. Sometimes it's hard to believe, man, that the relief is just right one step away. It don't take a fucking process in order to get better. Sometimes we step right into another reality, one step, one good decision at a time. Ain't nothing special about that. What's the miracle? The miracle is that one day you was getting high and one day you wasn't. That wasn't the process. Everybody need a process. I mean, my process. Surrounded with a bunch of people that are duller knives than you. I can't do it no more. I can't do it no more. I refuse to leave this room with that bondage on me. I pray, man. I'm telling you, I pray. I pray because I want the freedom. I want the freedom, but like I don't even reach out for the freedom. I'll stand there with freedom within my reach and not even reach for the fucking freedom. And then I'll sit here and I want to blame everybody and I'll sever every relationship that potentially has health associated with it because I don't want you to fucking know how much I really fucking need you. And then sometimes I'll allow this whole thing, this microphone thing right here to keep you away in that arms bay because you'll be too intimidated to tell me how I'm really feeling or living, because for real, when you lose the ability to front, everything about me says that I'm in pain. Everything about me says I'm in pain. What the fuck is it about you that won't let you help me? Do you want to see me fall because I share too fucking much? Tell me what I need to do for you to know that I'm approachable and you can fucking help me. Don't let me fucking die in this fellowship. Fucking just looking at me. How many sponsors you got? What difference do it make? I do steps. I still write. I still call my sponsor. I had the same sponsor for over 15 years. I know what it's like to have a relationship. I still value and admire who you are, and it's because of who you are, man, I'm able to sit here. Listen, I don't have an extra special home group I belong to. It ain't the best home group in Narcotics Anonymous. It just happens to be a home group that produces recovering addicts. It's where we sit at, man, and we share our experiences, traits, and hopes, and it's where my home base is at, and it's where I can fucking cry when I'm hurting, and I can talk about stuff like if my dog dies or if she fucking left me and I still don't know how to let go of shit I ain't finished with. I walked around in so much pain that finally, David, when it rose to the top and somebody hurt me, I'm telling you, it's something about this addict in front of you that when I feel like you came at me maliciously, man, I'll fucking try to destroy you. And when I'm in that condition and you don't take the opportunity to pull me aside and say, what the fuck is wrong with you? Nah, sometimes you need to grab a motherfucker. Fuck the job. Yo, what's wrong with you? Ain't no clean towel requirement on who can help you. What's wrong with you? We'll just let people die, man. Then we wonder why people want to run out of here to other fellowships and shit. And then we wonder why people don't want to get healthy. And we wonder why people change home groups and spawn new fellowships and all this bullshit. Because you let people die right in front of your face because you jealous of them. Because you think they got more going than you. Vindictus. All you got to do is ask them how they fucking got it. How dare you write a book? You think you special? Looking all hot to death over there. You just think what? So you don't want to be my friend on Facebook? Fuck you. Relief. Uh-huh. Yeah. Relief.
So I came here this weekend. Dig this. I just want to talk about I came to this convention this weekend. And the first time in over 10 years that I came to this convention as a single man. I don't have to cater to anybody else. I don't got to sit in your meetings because I don't fucking want to listen to you. If I ain't in your meeting, I didn't want to fucking be there. And if you feel some way about that, you can leave fucking now. I didn't pretty much finish any goddamn way. I don't got to call and check it. Well, when do you want to eat? Okay, well, baby, okay, well, I'm not really fucking hungry. But if you want to go to the bonfire, all right, I'll fucking meet you there. Yo, didn't I put some money in your pocket? Go to fucking Dover. Go eat then, if you hungry. I got to get back to a position that I was in. Listen, I'm telling you that 12 years ago, I had gotten into a position. And the position I was in is that I was able to share in that position. That I was loving and caring in that position. I was willing to bring somebody into my space in that position. But because I got so hurt in the last few years and because I carried that around trying to act as if I was okay. Because sometimes you think in your own mind that you got to look like recovery even at the expense of your own recovery. And so I walked around this fellowship for years. I was destroyed and devastated that my wife cheated. I was destroyed and devastated that when the relationship was over, she wouldn't fuck this dude who used to cry to me on the phone and act like he was my friend. Look, even in the goddamn streets of Camden, when we were smoking crack, we didn't fuck our friends' women. And if I see that motherfucker, dig this. I'm just checking. See if that motherfucker in here. He still know to go to the other side of the room when he see me. With my 20 years clean, I put my foot in his motherfucker. That's how we get down in motherfucking Centerville. I know it ain't no different in Southwest or wherever the fuck you from. I gotta look around. Where is he? I just want to be free, man. I don't want to hurt that boy. I know I hurt him, man, because I got it in my mind. I'll take every fucking thing you got just to fuck you up. Go ahead and hit me. I like the fight. I think you must have never listened to one of my CDs, motherfucker. I like this. I ain't beat nobody up in a long goddamn time. Sometimes I just want to bump into motherfuckers. I don't think people be believing you when you tell them you crazy as a motherfucker because you've been clean too long. We wouldn't even know you use unless you told us. Don't you got that brand new car paid for outside? You look really fucking nice and shit. You must have took at least a few paychecks to buy that necklace and shit. Oh my God, you married somebody saying I do to you? All that fucking shit. And you'll still put your foot in their neck when you're in a horrible state, man, and the disease of addiction has the ability to have you using without a fucking drug. And he's sick. Sometimes you can't even adequately describe the pain you win. I've been trying to share this shit for the last month. I was in fucking California. I was at Monday Night Madness. I was trying to share, and I just started crying, and I couldn't figure out. You ever just start crying and realize, oh, fuck, I'm in pain. I didn't even know I was in pain, man. You can front so much you don't even know you're in pain. I had shared my ass off. I opened that confession. I'm telling you, I represented motherfucking the battlefield. I shared my ass off. And by Sunday, I was crying my ass off. Hurting and not knowing that I'm hurting.